I was asked at the last minute to chair this meeting. I don't know our speakers. This is Jamila and her home group, Steps to Live in South Potomac. So please help me welcome Jamila.
I'm Jamila and I'm an addict. Want to welcome everybody to Ocean City. I love coming to Ocean City. And every time I think about my first day coming to Ocean City and being here with everyone, it takes me back to my emptiness and not knowing what I had come into. Yesterday, we were, riding in, and we were all excited and pumped up and got down here, got to the hotel, and I popped the trunk to my car and realized that I only had one piece of luggage. I brought two, supposedly brought two. I was supposed to bring two, but only had one. And my thing was, I was trying to make sure that my son was okay before I left and was putting all of the focus on him and making sure he had his stuff packed. And I only had one piece of luggage. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, I got to go back home. I mean, I was consumed with going back home. It was nothing else that was supposed to take place other than me getting into my car and headed back to D.C. But my loving, supportive network said, no, Jamila, that's not a good idea. And I'm thinking I could do it. 3 hours up there, 3 hours back, that's only 6 hours out of my weekend. It's not too bad. And I had all of my personal stuff in the luggage that I had left home. And so they said, well, Jamila, all you got to do is just, we'll just get the stuff all over again. And I'm thinking, y'all told me not to think when I got here. So I'm constantly going on with, I got to spend money on stuff that I already got. But it worked out. And I ended up going to buying the stuff. And my friends supported me. And it worked out. I even found some stuff on sale. But my clean date is July 11th, 1993. And I haven't found it necessary to use since that day. My story is filled with jails, institutions, and death. And every time I think about my story and going back as to where I've been and where I've come, I really, really, really do thank Narcotics Anonymous for a new way of life. I thank you all for introducing me to my God and helping me to get to a level of acceptance with myself and others. The first time I heard about diversity, I guess, or was even open to what it was all about was in the workplace, because there was this initiative about cultural diversity, and that we had needed to, understand that people in environments bring their own, beliefs and values and morals to the table, and that I needed to be open to others' values, beliefs, and morals, their ideas. And to me, I'm an intellect. So everything is about what's written, what's the bottom line, and how did you do that, And cultural diversity helped me to not only be an employee on my job and to be able to understand others, but Narcotics Anonymous and what it says in our literature And I love Narcotics Anonymous literature. I read the literature because it empowers me to understand the deadly disease that I'm dealing with. This is like the Bible to NA, the basic text in this book here. It works, how and why. And in our literature, it says anyone may join us, regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. In other words, we don't discriminate in Narcotics Anonymous. Now, I may have my own personal feelings and thoughts about people, what they do, how they do it, but they say principles before personalities. Coming into Narcotics Anonymous, I was very close-minded to homosexuality. Let me say that. Gay people. And reason being is that I didn't understand it. Had no clue. So because I didn't understand it, I closed my mind. It was like what they call homophobia. Is that the word? I haven't looked that up to really know what it is. You know, so I don't know if I'm that or not. You know, I just sort of gravitated to what other people have said about it. But I was closed. And so therefore, when they say you don't know where your help gonna come from, and it was a gay person, then I would duck them, you know, or I would avoid them, rather. And so as I keep coming back, and I've been coming for almost 12 years now, one day at a time, and learning some acceptance and understanding that is more better for me to understand than to be understood, to ask God to remove the spirit of judgment, because I am a huge judger. That's like one of my major character defects. It goes right alongside self-righteousness, you know. And but the basis of that is bitterness, you know. And when I've looked over and examined and assessed myself, I asked myself and others helping me to understand, what is the fear? What's the struggle all about? And my inability to accept people, whether they be white, black, Chinese, Hispanic, gay, you know, atheist, agnostic, because I believe in a God of my understanding, and he is the authority in my life. And doing my step work, I felt like, well, if you don't believe the God I believe, then you something wrong with you. You ain't getting the freedom that I'm getting. You know. And I thank Narcotics Anonymous for, first of all, surrounding me around people who was doing step work, because it's only step work and getting into the program that I'm able to learn who I am. I'm not all good, and I'm not all bad. What happens is I learn how to be less of Jamila and more of this inclusive God that I serve. And the people who are in my life, they just help me without my permission. they just push past all of my character defects and just help me. And I'm glad that they don't judge me like I have other people. And that's what Narcotics Anonymous does, is that the people, I'm going to share this. When I came into recovery, I came into recovery off of crack. I was a what you call a woody smoker. You know, smoke PCP, which is already crazy, and then put crack on it, which is more crazy. So I would do that every single day. You know, just go crazy, basically. You know, because every time I would get high, I would just trip out. You know, get into my car, think I could drive and ride 70, 80 miles per hour down Martin Luther King Avenue, you know, and witnesses say, you know, that I was driving, not even knowing where I was going. That's how out of my mind I had gotten. And went head on into another car, causing major damage to my foot or my ankle. My tooth had come out, and the other two people that were in the car were injured as well. And I know where I should be. I know where I should be. So when I came into recovery, I had come into recovery learning from people who had shot dope, see. And I had thought, because I, you know, I'll come up with a good idea in a minute. I said, well, maybe I need to go shoot dope and come back. And the same folk that I had been, you know, poking holes in their story, you know, and not realizing or understanding anything about what their experiences had been, but poking holes, were the same people who helped me. They said, Jamila, first of all, if you go out, there's no guarantee you're going to come back. And I start to think, Then they said, it gets worse and you pick up right where you left off. So that means I go right back to selling everything because I always get a lot of stuff and sell it all. I take the stuff to the dope man. And I said, So they said, that's a not yet, Jamila. They said, if you had not experienced that, then that's a not yet. And take your experience and let it be the end. So I said, okay. So I kept going to that meeting. It was a beginner step meeting. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. You know they said we do the 1, 2, 3 shuffle, 1, 2, 3 shuffle, 1, 2, 3 shuffle. And I did the 1, 2, 3 shuffle for about 5 years. Because that's, you know, basically where I was. I hadn't moved beyond thinking the way I was thinking and even opened the will to do anything different. So I just stayed on 1, 2, 3. But everybody else around me was doing step work. And they encouraged me to do step work. And in my steps, I found out about who Jamila is, you know. And when I did my step work and did my fourth step, you know, the liabilities and the assets, of course, you know, I really wanted to just hold on to everything, not everything, but the little bit of stuff that was so good about me. And then just let the liabilities go unaddressed. Because, you know, I'm closed. So that stuff really ain't me. Until I really, 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 really took a deeper look at my self-centeredness. It's grave. It's my thinking. It's uncompromising at times. Right now, it's uncompromising. And my sponsees, one of them last night gave me so much help, I started pulling out papers and I said, what was that you said? And I was, okay, wait a minute, say that again. And I'm writing the stuff down because I'm open to change. Wow. My defense mechanisms has been always to keep the guns cocked. Always. That way you stay way over there and I could be over here and I really don't have to deal with you. I don't have to deal with you. I really don't have to interact with you. I could just deal with you from over there. But Narcotics Anonymous says this is a program of unity, that I must embrace you and love you and be a part of you, even if I don't want to, because that's the environment that we're in, a loving fellowship of men and women for whom drugs have become major, a major problem. So that means we really don't know how to get along anyway. I know I don't. And when I say I mean we, because I'm in the we. You know, we really don't know how to get along. So it's best for me to listen to what somebody else tells me about my inability to relate, so that I'm able to lessen the defense mechanisms. And it's really in my best interest because I feel better. I'm lighter. I'm not as angry, because that's one of the emotions that flares up when I'm not balanced, is anger. And when I listen to others about who I am, I mean, people who got my best interest. I'm not talking about people who are going to sanction crazy stuff. People who tell you, oh, don't worry about it, baby. You'll be all right. No. I heard somebody in the meeting say the other day, if you're practicing behavior that is not aligned with the will of God, or that is in the best interest of us in this fellowship, you need to stop, Jamila. Stop. S-T-O-P. That's the only thing we have when that's the only thing I have when I find myself caught up. There's nothing else that can help me but stop. Stop thinking the way you thinking. Stop feeling the way you feeling. Stop doing what you're doing. Because if you don't, you're going to continue because you're an addict. And not because I'm an addict in a sense that I'm just going to use that as an excuse. I am an addict. I don't know how to stop. The fellowship and the program of Narcotics Anonymous is teaching me how to stop and stay stopped. You know, I thank God for my sponsor and the network of people, a new network of people. I remember when I came to a meeting early on, and I was talking about the old timers. You know, I had a thing about the old timers. I was like, who the hell they think they are? You know, they say ain't no big eyes or little U's in here. You know, I was off. I just, because, you know, everything was about how could I think my way through, you know. And the young lady walked up to me and said, Jamila, the old timers are the people who are teaching you how to live one day at a time. They were here before you got here. I said, oh, okay. So it's like I come to a realization eventually, is what I'm saying. If I keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, I eventually come to a realization that your thinking is not always ordered. In fact, it goes here, there, you know, rationalization, come up with some, you know, just some good stuff to make me feel good, you know, so that I don't deal. And the best thing I can do in this program is to learn how to deal. That's the best thing I can do. Is to learn how to find some ways of principling myself. Get some principles in your life, Jamila. Like open-mindedness. Open-mindedness is a real good principle in Narcotics Anonymous. Honesty. Willingness to want to do something different. And I'm encouraged today. I am encouraged today. I feel like I am in heaven in Narcotics Anonymous. That's how I feel. Because of the newfound freedom, the new way of thinking, and what I'm realizing is that once newness comes, it requires some follow-up. You know how in the third step it said we made a decision to turn our will and life over to the care of God as we understood him. Well, it doesn't stop there. There's some action that's required for me to be able to carry out the will, like go to meetings on a regular, talk to my sponsor about my thinking, and sharing the exact nature with somebody. You know, I'm not one that gets to the exact nature in rooms, in a meeting, rather, because I'm a firm believer what the fifth step says. It's me, God, and another human being. And a lot of times I need to gain some clarity before I go, you know, dumping on the meeting. You know, this is a fellowship of hope and not just me bringing in my sickness all the time. You know, my sponsor has helped me to understand that my experience, my strength, and my hope is important to the still suffering addict. It's vital to our growth in here. And so I find it, you know, especially when I want to do some stuff I feel like doing, because I've been talking about how I feel lately, how I just want to do some stuff. That's totally out of character. I'm trying to tell you. It's totally out of character. And I want to do it. You know that old way of thinking? And that old person ain't far removed. She's not gone that far. And the same person, when I came into recovery, I had met this guy who was, he was selling drugs in recovery. Now, diversity, okay, does not include things outside of the fellowship. So I don't have to accept anything. So this guy, he was selling drugs in recovery. And I'm thinking, my kind of guy. You know, he ain't getting high. I can hang out with him. And what I'm saying is, I will attract and do the same stuff that I did prior to NA and while I'm in NA. Because the opportunity is always there for me to do what I feel like doing. So I have to write a list of things that is in God's will and a list of stuff that is not. That's how I'm able to separate freedom from pain. Because right now I'm free. And if I keep doing what I'm doing, I could possibly stay this way. But if I choose to do what I feel like doing, I'm short. I was with a brother the other day in his car. And this is legal. Right? He had a amount of money like this. I mean, my fingers can't even stretch that wide as to how it was. Just to give you an analogy. And I'm thinking, you know, they going through all this about what we could do. And I'm thinking. You know, and I'm thinking. And I'm still thinking. I say, sounds good. But what is the principal thing to do? you develop a consciousness in this program, you cannot continue to do what you feel like doing. And see, I'm the kind of person, I watch folk. I watch them. Because it's about examples in here. It's not about doing what you want to do. You know, Narcotics Anonymous has put out this language and information that we have predators in NA that's tracking down the newcomers and killing them. Killing them spiritually. Ain't even giving them a chance. And the justification is, you know, we rationalize and justify the most outrageous sort of nonsense that makes stuff feel good. The justification is, we're adults. That's the justification. You're not a victim. You participated. Well, how much clean time do you have? And how much quality clean time do you have? Whereas if a newcomer come to you and you know you can't help them, all you can do is get them harm and hurt, what's the principal thing to do? And if you don't have no principles and haven't learned any yet, then it's in our best interest to get some. Because the opportunity to harm is prevalent in Narcotics Anonymous. It's easy to do what I want to do. It's easy for me to think the way I want to think. So, change I must, or die I will. I have a low tolerance. I'm still working on self-righteousness and asking God to soften my heart. But what I realize is that this is a matter of life and death with me. And everything that I do is wrapped in my choices. So if I choose to do something that's going to cause me guilt and shame and feelings of indifference or intolerance, then I need not to do it. It's real simple. Once I learn and practice the right thing to do, it becomes easier. But if I keep practicing insanity and saying I'm an addict and letting the disease have its way, then I'm going to keep getting them same outcomes. I'm going to keep getting them. So to a degree, I feel like I got to stay on my P's and Q's and on my toes because the disease wants to get me. It's down here this weekend. And my thinking is always wrapped up in, that don't sound bad. So I'm glad. When y'all told me that drugs was just a symptom of my problem, and that I needed to look from the inside out, because I could put on an outfit and jewelry and all that. But what is it going to do when I go home and I done something I had no business doing? If I have a conscience. Now, if the conscience, you know, that goes into a whole nother thing. Because the introduction to Narcotics Anonymous is talking about mature consciousness. We grow into mature consciousness in recovery. And so it becomes a part of my life. So I gravitate to the people who are not working a perfect program. I'm talking about people who live and they fall short, not living defiantly. Just defying the authority. Because I know how to do that. I used to have a problem with the police. They pulled me over. What they pulling me over for? I was only doing 70 miles. But what they pulling me over for? So if we fall short, that's acceptable. Falling short is acceptable. But being willful defiant is not. Because this fellowship, we wouldn't be as Narcotics Anonymous wouldn't be Narcotics Anonymous if we allowed one another to do what they wanted to do and not pull you up on it. But then if you pull them up, they'll tell you, mind your business. I remember when I came in the program, they simply told me, Jamila, these are the guidelines, and this is what we're doing here. I ain't getting no whole lot of talk back, because it was out of respect that I had for people as I kept coming back. You know, the old-timers began to really make sense to me in terms of what they were doing to carry the message. Follow those who know, because you don't, Jamila. Follow those who know, not the blind leading the blind, you know. So I'm thankful, and I keep saying I'm thankful, and I'm grateful, and I'm hopeful that I'll become a little, you know, I guess loving, or maybe a little more compassionate, because I'm going to share this and I'm going to close. Last night I was sharing with one of my sponsees, and she was letting me know that my defense mechanisms have become a real facade. A real facade. You know, a facade is something you put on. This shit is real with me. And you know how they say you come in here and you unlearn to relearn? Well, I'm still unlearning in the area of intimacy and compassion. Natural affection is what I desire. And what I've had to do is I've had to separate myself from the environment that I had come up in. I was at the convention last year, and I heard somebody share that if you're open to the place that you came from, which is your family, whatever that might be, then you might be able to get some understanding of what your issues are. And I realized that this behavior, and even in my presentation and the way I express myself, is learned. And it is deep because of the environment that I had come up in and the things that I needed to do to survive and to cope and to deal, you know. So y'all say, unlearn, Jamila, you know. So I've had to separate myself from the environment that I came from so I can learn something different. And they don't understand, but I have simply made a decision to separate myself so that I can get to the place where my God is trying to take me, I believe. And Narcotics Anonymous is the vehicle that's going to get me there. It's the vehicle that's going to get me there. So I have to be open and be willing to always want to do something different. Always. If I ever stop entertaining the thought of doing something different and embracing change, I'm a dead addict. Spiritually, I'm dead, you know. So I'm full, and I really do thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. I want to thank the East of the River area for putting on this convention. Y'all are doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Can you guys do me a favor and put your cell phones on vibrate? Just for me. Our second speaker that I don't know, his home group's the Talking Heads group in the Montgomery area. His name's John. Please help me welcome John.
I'm an addict named John. Glad to be here. Tell you a little bit about my story. I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. I went to a party 1962, and I came home from that party on April 19th, 1992. Very simple, very simple. I like that, yes. A lot of things happened to me over the period of time in between, and I kind of want to set it up. Some of this has to do with recovery, and some of it doesn't. Most of it has to just do with who I am. And maybe it does have something to do with my addiction. I was born and raised in Washington, like I said. I went to D.C. public schools. And in those days, that was a fairly homogeneous environment. And what I mean by that is when I looked to the right, I saw people that looked just like me. And when I looked to the left, I saw people who looked just like me. And it stayed that way pretty much my whole time in school. I was around black people just like me, the whole time. I could count the number of people who weren't just like me on one hand through my whole 12 years of school, 13 years of school. The topic for today is diversity. So if I had to come here after high school, I couldn't have shared about diversity. I didn't know anything about diversity. That's my background. I started using, I think, when I was in junior high. And I traveled around the country on vacation. And I had some pretty bad experiences with people who didn't look just like me. I went to Iowa with my family and went to a restaurant. We'd driven from Chicago, been driving all day, and went to the restaurant. It was a AAA approved restaurant, and we went in. And the greeter came and met us in the lobby. I mean, we couldn't even make it into the restaurant. She came out to the lobby and said, "We're sorry, we don't serve colored people." Okay. I've never forgotten that. That happened in the 60s. Okay. I went to another place out in Virginia. It's called the Enchanted Forest. I remember this. They had a sign up over the water fountain. It said, "Whites only." I remembered that. I went to a restaurant when I was in college down in New Orleans. And I went in with my fellow band members from the band. And about 10 of them had gone in before me. And then me and my buddies went in, and they said, hold up, wait a minute, do you have a membership card?" And I said, "Well, no, the other band members, they went in, they didn't have a membership card." They said, "Well, we're sorry, you can't come in." So I had an attitude about people who didn't look just like me. So that's my background. When I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I came from one room in my basement under the stairs. Okay? I came from this room where I was there all by myself. My whole world had shrunk down to that little room under the stairs with sheets and curtains over every window, so that they couldn't see the light of the flame, you know. And that was my entire world. It got really, really, really small. Then I came into Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous started to work on me. Started going to a lot of meetings. Got a sponsor. Learned how to pray. Learned how to develop a relationship with my higher power. And started being in service to other people. When I got in service is really where I started to open up. The program worked on me. I started to open up. I went to this special place in Montgomery County, in Montgomery area of Narcotics Anonymous called Area Service. And they used to call it Area Circus for some reason. I don't know. And that's where I started to really come in contact face-to-face with a whole lot of people that didn't look just like me, that were hugging me and showing love. You know, I did look up one time, I remember, in Area Service, and everybody that looked like me was on one side of the room, and everybody that didn't look like me was on the other side of the room. I said, something's wrong with this picture. But that didn't happen very often, but I didn't notice that one time. I think that's sort of a natural thing that we kind of do. You know, and it kind of has bothered me, too, to tell you the truth, because, I mean, I've seen people go to conventions, world conventions, and get together with the people that they already know. You know, sort of like an opportunity being missed, because there's so many of us. I mean, I look around now, we're a very diverse group of people. And we're grooving on the diversity. I think we miss an opportunity when we don't take advantage of that. And the reason I say that, because I feel like I need everybody. I need help. I need help. If I shut myself off to help from somebody, I might miss the exact thing that might keep me clean. And from the basic text, it says anyone may join us. And you know the rest. It says addiction closed our minds to anything new or different. We didn't need anything or anyone, we thought. There was nothing of value to be found in anyone from a different neighborhood, a different racial or ethnic background, or even a different social or economic class. We may have thought that if it was different, it was bad. Well, you know, I've gone to some conventions, some world conventions. I went to Baltimore, I went to St. Louis, I went to San Jose. When I got to San Jose in 1998, it really hit me there, because the theme of that convention was diversity is our strength. Diversity is our strength. It takes all of us working together to help each other stay clean. And as long as I'm open to that, I have a much better chance of staying clean. I've been to conventions where I've met people from all over the world in Narcotics Anonymous who are working together to help each other stay clean. Just to give you a list. Australia, United Kingdom, Turkey, India, Argentina, Norway, Native Americans, Jewish people, Greek people, Lebanese people, Polish, Italians, Trinidadians. I've met a lot of different kind of people in Narcotics Anonymous. And I think the reason that I've been able to do that because the program has opened me. Remember, I came from that little one room under the stairs. And Narcotics Anonymous has opened me up. It's made me very open to a lot of help that I can get. I believe that my higher power, God, speaks through everybody. And because of that, I believe that diversity is our strength. Being connected to all these different kinds of people makes me stronger. What is diversity? Well, diversity means difference. You know, the differences, uniformity, the opposite of uniformity. You know, we have all these different ethnic groups and racial groups and religious groups and nationalities and social status and economic status and educational backgrounds, different ages, different sexual identities. Everybody had a different drug of choice, maybe. Different creeds. It just goes to show you that addiction, which is our common bond, is an equal opportunity destroyer. It doesn't care which one of those things we are. And it's just humbling, you know, for me to see that, you know, I'm a very small part of this really big picture that we have here in Narcotics Anonymous. It's made me able to trust in my higher power. It's given me faith in the spiritual message of this program. It's given me a willingness to work with other people. Because I said, okay, now I'm open. Now it's a chance to work with other folks. On the area level, on the regional level, in the group. It's given me a sense of belonging to something much, much bigger than me. One more little quote I have here from Just for Today. We all belong. Although politics makes strange bedfellows, as the old saying goes, addiction makes us one of a kind. What a mixture of folks we have in Narcotics Anonymous. In any given meeting, on any given night, we'll find a variety of people that probably would have never sat down in a room together if it weren't for the disease of addiction. A member who is a physician described his unwillingness to identify at his first meeting by refusing to go into that room full of junkies. Another member with an extensive background in jails and institutions shared a similar story, except that her shock and surprise stemmed from the realization that there were some very nice people in there wearing suits yet. These two friends recently celebrated their 7th wedding anniversary. The most unlikely people form friendships, sponsor each other, and do service work together. We meet in the rooms of recovery together, sharing the bonds of past suffering and hope for the future. We meet on mutual ground with our focus on the two things that we all have in common, addiction and recovery. I thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. It has given me the quality of life that I have today. It has made me open. It has made me willing. And it's made me able to, you know, work with all these different kinds of people. And it's helped me to feel a lot better about myself. I can walk into a room. I can meet one of you. I've never seen you before. Never seen you before. Come up and get a really big hug, and I can feel that love. I did it on the way in here, you know. Someone I never seen. My first convention, I remember, was down by Dulles Corridor. I think it was back in 90. Yeah, 90. And this guy from Georgia walked up to me. I think he was a, what you call a redneck. At first, this kind of scared me to death, really. But, you know, he just hugged me and held on to me. And I was a brand newcomer, and you know what he said? He said, welcome. Welcome. And I felt good from that point on. And Now, I love hugs. I love the hug squad. I used to be on the hug squad here. Got to meet all these different people and hug them and feel them and know that we all are the same. We all have this common bond of addiction that holds us together. And that my higher power has worked through these people to help me stay clean one more day at a time. And thank you for letting me share.
I'm an addict. My name is Tara.
Hi, Tara.
What time is it? This meeting closes at 11:45, so anybody who wants to share can come up and share. We have 15 minutes or so.